So.
Is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for July 14th, 2017. And I'd like to tell you we got a great show for you, but I'd be lying. I don't know what we're doing today, but I do have some great news for my regular listeners. I have a co-host in the studio with me today, none other than the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron Smith. Cameron, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's summertime, and of course, last summer was when we kicked off Rogue Talk. And as we found out last summer, there's not a lot of things going on around town to talk about. You know, this show is supposed to be all about Rogue River, and we focus on the school quite a bit because that's kind of the center of a lot of people's lives, their kids and what they're doing. And so we do a lot with that. But in the summertime, once you get past Rooster Crow, you get past the 4th of July, things kind of slow down a little bit. And in fact, how have we been getting our sports entertainment the last few days?
Summer League,
Summer League.
Basketball.
That's right. So you know you're desperate for sports when you're watching Summer League basketball. And, of course, the Warriors kind of an up-and-down time in the Summer League. They got knocked out of the winner's bracket yesterday, so, you know, not as much fun for us, I guess. But so what, since we got you here, what kinds of things have you been doing since school let out? I know you've been on a couple of runs. In fact, we've talked about it right here on Rogue Talk. So tell us about what you've been doing.
Well, I saw that there was lots of races that I can go to because Moses told me about his
Moses goal. JJ Moses, we're talking about, who's a teacher at the high school and the new athletic director, incidentally. So we're hoping to get JJ on the show pretty soon, but go ahead and finish your story.
So he puts on a race called the Gold Dust Run every year. He's done it since he was in senior in high school, and so he wanted me to do it. And so I ran that race, and so then I went on to Southern Oregon Runners website, and they do a bunch of races throughout the year. And so I just went to a few more of those and just got some experience in cross country for some preseason, so that I'll
training for the upcoming season. Yeah. Sure. And you didn't, now you hadn't run cross country before. Of course, you ran track for the first time this year and you did really well, although it was kind of a rough end to the season, wasn't it? Tell us how, what happened there.
Well, in the race that I really was hoping to get into, get state qualifications for, I came up short. You know,
by just a few meters, that right?
Yeah, just a few meters short. But, I mean, it just means train hard for the rest of this year and then be ready for the next season and hope for the best.
So, yeah, your first year running track, and you were a sophomore this year, so you'll be a junior next year, and you were just a few tenths of a second away from being a state qualifier. So I'd say that's a pretty good showing for your first year ever and just really learning how to run races. I know I didn't run competitively until my senior year, and really that was the only time I did before or after that. But you spend a lot of your first season just learning how to run a race properly, how to pace yourself, and if you have a good kick, you learn when to kick it in and you know how long you can hold back and that kind of thing. And so, you know, that was pretty good. And but you got a couple of awards in the last couple of races that you ran in. Tell us about that.
So at the longest day run, I got third overall out of the men there, and fourth overall in general.
So you got beat by one woman is what you're telling me.
Yeah, she was pretty good. I think she's the one that won it.
Yeah.
It was an interesting race because I did not know anywhere where I was going. And and there's times where it's like really long and you're just in the sun the whole time and you're just cooking.
Yeah, that was a hot day. I remember taking you over there to that race, and it's a nice setting running along the greenway there in Medford, but it was a warm night, and even part of the race you weren't even running at one point, is that right?
No, I just wasn't really ready for it. I hadn't done any training in a while, which...
which is what summer is.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was a fun race. I mean, my shoe fell off at the near the end, and I had to sprint out to take third or fourth. But third overall on the men. But I had to out-sprint this one guy. He thought he had me, but I lost my shoe and I was off.
Yeah. Kicked one shoe off to lighten the load and crushed his dreams. So, yeah. So then the last run you did was the Rooster Crow run. And tell us how that went. How many people were in that and how did you do?
I'd say there was about... 50, I'd say, about.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere it was like 65 was the official number, so that's a pretty good estimate. And how did you do?
I took second overall. The president of Southern Oregon Runners beat me.
Oh.
But
so if you beat him, do you get to be the president? Probably not. <Yeah.
laughs> He's been doing it for a while, and he's just really good. I mean... For someone who he's kind of, you know, old, I guess you can say. He's not like super old, like he's an old guy.
Is he older than me?
No.
Okay, so he's definitely not old.
He's reaching old, but he's way out of his prime.
Well, apparently not, because he's still beating you at your best. So he may be past his prime, but he's still competitive for sure. So that's one of your goals then, I guess, is to beat you. I guess now he's probably friends with JJ, is that right?
Yeah, and he wanted to put some money on the table for me, most.
Yeah, well, he may have lost that bet then, but you keep working toward it. So that leads up to the upcoming school year. You're going to run cross country for the first time, and now you, in the last 2 years, you played soccer. Now, are you going to try and do the two sport thing for the first season, or are you just going to focus on cross country?
I'm going to try the two sport at it because you know the soccer, I don't want to leave them hanging. You know, they need, I'm assuming they need guys because it's just been a struggle right now because
our numbers are down at our schools or I mean. Over the scope of the last, you know, 5 or so years, our numbers have gone down, and so it's hard to field some of these teams, so they definitely need you. But I think another thing that is important to look at is they're very complementary of one another. I mean, cross country is great training for soccer and vice versa, at least as far as the stamina and the, you know, even the speed ability. What are we looking forward to? Who do you think is going to lead? Obviously, it looks like you'll be the leader of the cross-country team since you were the best distance guy this year on the track team. So my guess would be you're going to be right up there as one of those leaders. Who are we looking to be the leaders of the soccer team this year?
Garen Decker and probably Simeon Poston, maybe Sebastian Poston. They're the big shots on the soccer team. and they know a lot about soccer, and they're good leaders at helping others to get better. And so,
yep. And we're losing a few seniors, including our number one goalkeeper for last year, which was Aaron Hansen. Gavin Decker, one of our top players, is going to be gone. Of course, with Garen there, he'll carry on the Decker name and see how he can do, and he's a good player. We also lost our exchange student who I recently had on the show. In fact, we replayed that episode last week, and that Chiago. And so those are going to be some big shoes to fill this year. Do you think we got some guys coming up, you know, maybe some freshmen or sophomores for, you know, that'll be coming up this year that can try and fill some of those shoes?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know any of the names, but like I've heard of guys that are going to come out that I guess are actually pretty good.
So who do you think is going to take over as the goalkeeper this year? I've heard a couple rumors, but I think one of your friends from middle school that you've played sports with might be one of the names. Who do you think is gonna fill that spot?
Tristan Spaeth, and he's actually been working really hard. He's been with Rob Heilemann,
mm-hmm. our girls soccer coach.
And after school, like the last couple of weeks after school, and I think he's still doing in the summer too, he goes to the field next to the middle school, old middle school now,
sure,
elementary school,
sure,
West.
Elementary West.
And he just trains with him to be a better goalie. And so I'm thinking he's going to be our starting goalie.
Yeah, well, and that was the name that I had heard was looking to be to move into that starting spot at the goaltending spot. Now they've tried you out at goaltender a little bit. Is that something you could fill in if you needed to? You know, if someone was hurt or not at a game, or is that something that you tried and you're done with?
I think I can do it. I don't like to do it really anymore because it's actually a really tough job. It's not as easy as you think it might be. But I would be there. I'd do anything that I'm told. I just do it. It doesn't matter.
I'll remind your mother of that you'll do anything you're told. But no, so we got a lot of challenges with that team, but looks like there's some guys stepping up that are going to try and make it a better team. And of course, you're in your third year. You'll be a much better player each year. I mean, you didn't play a lot of youth soccer, so this is, you know, you're having to kind of learn the game as well as apply your athletic abilities. And so, you know, that'll be the first season. Now, the second season, even though you've kind of found this new joy for track and field and for cross country, probably still your favorite sport comes up in the winter season. And what are we looking at there?
Basketball,
that's right. And we're going to have a new head coach this year. A familiar name because he was a new coach this year for the baseball team, and that's Jay Chick. And so you guys have had a meeting to talk about next season.
Somewhat of a meeting, not like a whole team kind of get together meeting, but like a little,
just kind of a
small,
you know,
little
get
meeting
to know one another. And
mm-hmm.
And what are some of the things? And of course, we'll try and talk to Jay when we get into the school year, and hopefully maybe we'll do another fall preseason sports show that like we did last year. So we'll try and get Jay on the show. But I understand a couple of his philosophies are something that's interesting to you because it's the style of play that you enjoy. Tell us about that.
Well, his biggest thing is defense. He wants to get it done on the defensive end. And then move the ball into transition. I think it's going to be really good because we aren't that big in the half court, and so we're speed. We have the speed. We just the half court. You need stronger, taller guys, and we don't have it. And so we have to adjust with the size. And so his plan is defense first. If we can stop, get into transition, score buckets that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, and that's a good, I think that's a, it shows that he has looked at our program and he knows what we have there. And, you know, we're losing Derek Pratt. We're losing Aaron Hansen. Well, those are our two, that was our inside presence, basically. You know, Aaron, probably more of an inside scorer than Derek. Derek did a little more of his damage, you know, from probably a little farther out, although he was the one that liked to dunk and got a couple of those this year. But Aaron was more the steady, you know, in the post kind of offensive guy. But of course, Derek being a shot blocker also, and we're losing that presence. And it does, and that's not that we don't have some other guys that can try and fill those roles. Andy Herrinks is one I can think of that's really made some strides and played some quality minutes. But again, it shows that Coach Chick has looked at our program and said, you know, we're not going to have a lot of size. We can't rely on that, you know, pounded inside type of offense. We're going to really need to, you know, to the best part of our game needs to be on the defensive end. And that's kind of similar to your favorite team in the NBA, who is
the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah. And that's kind of how they play the game. So should be a lot of fun for you and for the whole team. I think that's a great style of play. One of my philosophies when I was coaching was I can teach anybody to play defense. It's not a high skill. And you and I were talking about this the other day. You've got guys like Kawhi Leonard in the NBA or Klay Thompson in the NBA that are really good on ball defenders. And that is a skill that not all guys in the NBA have that kind of talent that a guy like Klay Thompson has. But team defense is really more about knowledge and about hard work and attitude. And I was, when I coached middle school, for those of you that don't know, I coached middle school girls for a few years. And I always had projects because there were girls that would come out that had never touched a ball before. They'd never tried to play basketball before. And I would focus on teaching them to play defense, especially I had a couple of good post defenders that, you know, we would work on their defense over and over and over, and they would contribute. And the problem was, is you had other players that didn't, they're so offensive minded that they didn't realize the contribution that this player is giving just by playing defense. And so are you looking forward to working on your defense and becoming, and that's not to say you're not a good defender. You actually are your intelligence of the game has made you a good defender. Even if the quickness isn't always matched up to your opponent, your understanding of how the game works. So are you looking forward to that?
Yeah. Talking about defense with me is lots of the guys that are on my team, they're like, they don't like to go one-on-one with me because defensively I'm maybe not as quick, but I can stop them from scoring and make it tough for them.
Yeah, and you learn those techniques. If you're not a sports fan and you're listening today, this a little bit of this will go over your head, but you learn how much ground you have to give on the guy that you're defending. If he's quicker, you got to give him more room so that you can stay with him. If he's not as quick, if you know you're guarding a guy that doesn't have, you know, good ball handling skills or good handles, as we say, mm-hmm. You know, you can guard him a little tighter and you can get some steals. And so do you think that the rest of the team are going to be willing to buy into this strategy?
Yeah, I definitely think they will. Part of it is we have a lot of like athletic guys that like will make plays on the defensive end. Part of the problem we're having, and I think when he coaches us in the season and we get, is they just make plays, but not actually like play defense. Like they can get steals and blocks, but they can't stop their defender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we get into season, I think we'll definitely be coached so that they can not only make those athletic plays but stop defenders. But I think they'd all be willing to do that. I think if we work as a group, we can be the best defensive team in the conference.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good goal to have. And this style definitely plays into your strengths in that because you've kind of discovered this love of running, you know, the stamina comes into play. You know, when you're when you're going transition defense, and as a lot of the teams in the NBA have found out, when the Golden State Warriors get into their style of play, when they're able to dictate the pace of the game, it's fast paced, and a lot of these teams haven't been able to keep up, which is why they're the world champs right now, or at least a big part of that. And so, yeah, I think it's a great strategy, and I think that, I think this could be a better season than what a lot of people may be thinking right now, because we did lose, you know, a couple of really good senior players. But it's also an opportunity, I think, for guys to step up. Guys like you, guys like Jacob Tambellini, who's been kind of a sixth man. You know, he's gotten some starts, but he's more of a sixth man that comes in and gives somebody like Pratt a rest or whatever. And he gets quality minutes, but, you know, now he may be moving into a starting role where he's a starting, maybe even a post, which is not really a natural position for him. But he's so strong that maybe, you know, he may be asked to be there, or at least as a power forward. Of course, we mentioned Andy Herrings, and he's developed his post play to be pretty good. So talk about some of the guys on your team that you think are going to have a good year this year.
Well, someone who's been working on his game, Aiden Norris.
Uh-huh.
He was left from the team last year, but this year he says he's gonna come back and play, and he's really worked on his game. He's not as strong in the post, mm-hmm. but he's a better like scorer. He doesn't get as many rebounds, but he can score
sure
a lot.
So who else do you think? You know, of course, a friend of yours in your class, same class as you, Derek Nelson. Now, of course, he's shines at quite a few sports, but he got the chance to be on the varsity early on, and I'm going to be honest, at the beginning it was like, I don't know if he's ready for that yet, but he's really stepped up to the challenge. How do you think his season's going to look this year?
I think he's probably going to be our best player, because he turned the varsity team and made them better. I mean, last year he started rising as a star on that team. When we couldn't get offense, he was there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now another one that got his chance really early on, and that'd be Riley Valley, of course, a close friend of yours also. And Riley maybe struggled a little this last season, with his offensive game. And so do you think this transition style and this defense first style, do you think that that's something he's going to be able to adjust to really well?
I think so. I think it's going to be a adjust for everyone. He's more of better in the half court. He's not an up and down kind of guy. That's just how I've played with him many years. That's just
sure. So it's going to be probably a little bit bigger adjustment for him. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing he's got going for him is he's a similar player to you in that his knowledge of the game, I think, is what helps him quite a bit. He's got good instincts, and that should help him, and I think that'll help you too. And I think where he gets a lot of his instincts for the game was watching his brother play growing up. He Ben was a pretty good point guard, and I think he learned a lot from that and watching his brother. So it should be a pretty good season. And I think we're going to have a better season, than a lot of people might expect. So we're definitely looking forward to that. So as long as we're talking about all of your sports, we got you here, and so let's move on to the final end of the school year. You'll have your second year at track and field. Tell us what your events are and what your goals are for those events.
My events are 15 and 3,000 meters.
Yeah, 1,500 and 3,000. And so what are your goals? Maybe not necessarily times. I know that doesn't mean much to most people listening, but what are your goals for the season? Where would you like to end up at the end of the season?
Well, I think for the 1500, I'd like to place a little higher, and I definitely can. I just have to put in the work, train. For the 3000, qualify, you know. I was right there. I should have beat the guy. I mean, I was right there with him. I mean, he just out-sprinted me. Just means I need to adjust and fix up the mistakes I made in that race. It will be down here in the valley and not in the high desert.
Well, and that's a good point, because the most of the times for the qualifiers to go to state were not PRs. They were not their best times, because as any of you athletes know, especially from around here, when you head over to Lakeview, you head up to that high desert, it's a big adjustment. In fact, the kids that train up there all the time, they love coming down here into the valley, because it's like their lungs just open up. It's a wonderful feeling for them. And that's not to make any excuses. As you admitted, you did make some mistakes, and you probably should have won that race. But all things being considered, you know, a night in a sketchy motel and then running a race at the top level for the first time all season that you were put against more than one guy in a race that could run with you. Most of your other races, it seemed like to me, at least the ones I attended, there was maybe one other guy that could run with you, and that's, you know, it's hard to get a feel for that top level of competition.
Well, and for going up there, it was a lot of mental toughness, and a lot of the other guys that finished behind me, who were from the rest of the valley, like, you know, from Cascade, St. Mary's, they struggled mentally, and you just had to have, I just mentally was a lot stronger than they were, because physically it felt terrible.
Yeah.
But I had a goal and I wanted to reach it. I came up short though, but, and that's a lot of what those races are, is mental toughness, is how far can you get over the fact of your pain and suffering to win or come second and still qualify?
No, you're absolutely right. It is any kind of sport, especially individual sports like track and field or like wrestling, any of those sports, there is a lot of mind over matter, because there's a lot of exhaustion and pain and other things that can weigh you down, and you have to push past that, you know. And I don't know that I was as competitive as you are in the running. I was a pretty good runner, but I you know, nobody was thinking of me as the number one guy on our team, and you've definitely shown to be the number one distance guy on your team. But I look back to my wrestling days, and it was a similar thing. There's times where, I mean, I wrestled in a tournament. In fact, the tournament that I won my only championship in, and I wrestled most of the tournament with a broken toe. And that's not, it's not a matter of me bragging, oh yeah, I won the championship with a broken toe, but it's a matter of, there's certain things like that you just have to push those out of your mind. And so, well, I definitely salute you for that, you know, level of, you know, being able to overcome those things. And so, yeah, next season's looking pretty promising for you, and really in all your sports that you're playing. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to take a little break here, and then when we come back, I think we'll kind of get the teenage high school kids' opinion on a few of the news stories that are in the news right now. We, in fact, as some of you know, I'm a guest on Once for All, which is our morning show here at the Bridge, and we talk about on Fridays. I'm on Fridays, and we talk about current events, and I get to give my opinion. And of course, on this show, occasionally you get to hear my opinion of things, and most of you probably don't want to hear it, but I'm kind of interested to see what a teenager thinks about some of these issues that are in the news, especially a couple of these new laws that have been passed in Oregon. And I'm not sure which ones have been signed by the governor yet, but my understanding is that the two, at least, that we're going to talk about, you know, she's excited about signing them. So we'll get Cameron's opinion on those after we take this break. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Talking about things that matter. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with baseball news. Big news for the Chicago Cubs. They have acquired ace Jose Quintana from the White Sox in a major trade between crosstown rivals. Trailing Milwaukee by 5.5 games and 2 games below 500, the defending champions shook things up in a big way Thursday by acquiring Quintana, a 2016 All-Star. He's 4-8 with a 4.4 ERA in 18 starts this season. He went 13-12 last year with a 3.2 ERA. Elsewhere, White Sox reliever Nate Jones has undergone season-ending arm surgery, sidelined since April 28th because of inflammation in his right elbow. He experienced discomfort throwing during a throwing session last week. The Milwaukee Brewers have acquired left-hander Tyler Webb from the New York Yankees for a minor league first baseman, Garrett Cooper. Webb was assigned to AAA following the trade. He had a 4.5 ERA in 7 appearances this season. This is SRN Sports. Tennis, Venus Williams has reached the Wimbledon final for the 9th time. The 5-time champion at the All England Club will play Garbine Muguruza for the title on Saturday. Williams improved to 9-1 in Wimbledon semifinals with a 6-4, 6-2 win over Johanna Konta, who is hoping to become the first British woman to reach the final since Virginia Wade won it in 1977. At 37, Williams is the oldest Wimbledon finalist since Martina Navratilova was the 94 runner-up at that age. NBA news, a person with knowledge of the details says the Knicks have promoted Steve Mills to president, hired Scott Perry as general manager. Mills takes over the position left vacant by Phil Jackson's departure last month. Perry was the executive vice president of operations for the Sacramento Kings and previously held front office roles for other organizations. It's being reported, by the way, that the Knicks and Rockets are still talking about a trade for Carmelo Anthony, but no deal is imminent. This is SRN Sports.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And in the studio with me, my guest co-host for the day, the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron Smith. And if you'd like to call into the show and talk about anything you want today, Rush Limbaugh has a thing he calls Open Line Friday, so I don't want to steal his thing, but we'll talk about whatever you want. Cameron's always willing to give his opinion about just about anything, so if you want to call in, I do have a couple of gift certificates for Rogue Express. If you call in, I think I've got at least 2 of those left. If anyone that calls in, I'll get you one of those gift certificates. And that number is 541-299-0498. 541-299-0498. And so I thought now we'd get Cameron's opinion on some of the news stories going around. One of the things that's been in the news that the Oregon They passed, actually, I think it's a couple of laws, but basically they want to decriminalize some drugs, and some of these drugs are some pretty hard drugs, heroin, cocaine, and some other drugs. I don't know if I have the list here, but so I guess the feeling on this is if they lower the crime from like a felony to a misdemeanor on certain drug crimes, like low levels of possession, or even I think I even read things like burglary. The idea is that there's help for these people, that they can get them better help instead of putting them in prison for a period of time, that there's better help for them available. But the other side of it would be, is I'm not sure I'm comfortable with them saying, well, if a guy that's been convicted of burglary two or three times and he breaks into my garage and steals all my tools, that somehow his crime should be a felony. But if a meth head breaks into that same garage and steals those same tools, that his crime would be a misdemeanor because it was drug related, because he's addicted to meth. My tools are still gone and I've still been burglarized. I don't like the idea of making those different because they're drug related. Although I don't necessarily have a problem with decriminalization, but that's not the same thing. If you're making certain felonies misdemeanors, that affects me as a law-abiding citizen. But if you lower certain levels of drug possession to a lower crime, or to not a crime at all, maybe with some other, counseling or, something like that. What do you think about that? As a teenager, you probably have seen some drug issues. I'm not stupid to think that there's not things that happen in the schools that, you kids are aware of and you see what's going on. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a good idea to decriminalize some of these drugs?
No, not really, because you're acting like it's nothing. It's like, okay, whatever. So, but they teach in the schools, don't do drugs, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. So by, decriminalizing you doing meth, heroin, et cetera, you're saying to teenagers and adults that it's okay to do drugs.
Yeah, I would agree that it does kind of send that message, and I had the same concern with when we, and I put up the big air quotes because it's still federally not legal, but we legalized marijuana in Oregon, and I think it sends not a very good message that and actually we're trying to. I'm still working on this, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, and it hasn't happened. We want to have a show on here. I want to have an interview with someone that knows more about those things from the county. It kind of got put on the side for a while. The county, that department in the county, they had some things going on, and they didn't really have time for it. And then, truthfully, I haven't been able to get back onto them about getting that interview, but I wanted to talk to them about the effects of the legalization of marijuana on adolescents, on not only, on their perceptions of it, if their perceptions are changing because now it's quote-unquote legal. And I mean, just from your opinion, I'm hearing that maybe the perceptions are changing a little bit. And do you think that those same perceptions will change with this new bill of, decriminalizing some of these other drugs?
I think so, because I think they're going to think that it's okay to do it. And it's really, you look at these people, you see their, what you call it, where they take a picture of you when you go to jail.
Yeah, they're mugshots.
They're mugshots.
Sure.
You see the effects of it, and you see these people are, they, They have gone so far from...
They're ruining their lives.
Yeah,
they really are. Now, you know, the argument would be made that, well, if we're not locking them up in prison and we're giving them, making them go into treatment programs, do you think that's a good thing? And not to make it too confusing, but do you think that the two are really not mutually exclusive? And what I mean by that is, can you keep some of these crimes as a felony, yet still get these people the help that they need to try and break their addictions?
I think it should be possible, because as they're serving their felony, they put them in a program that will help them. Yes, does doing heroin and meth hard to get away from? Because I've had many drug people that have done drugs come in to schools and talk, and it's probably the hardest thing they've ever done is getting off those drugs. So I think, I know it's a tough thing, because the problem is they just, the jails aren't big enough, and so they need, and they don't, but it's a bunch of drug crimes, and it's just a same process, catch and release, you know, all that.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the show. We have a lot of repeat offenders that they're just on this catch and release program. They don't even hold them. They book them and turn them loose. And
I think to help probably pay for some of these programs is to actually have them do labor.
Community service, sure.
Because you're just wasting millions on tax dollars on these
sure
drug crimes.
Well, and we have the catch and release program because there's only so many tax dollars available, and the jail's only so big, and we don't have the money to build a bigger jail. They've recently opened some additional beds in Jackson County, but it's not enough. It doesn't solve the catch and release where we have all of these ones that are doing, you know, mostly petty crime, but they're doing it to feed their drug habit. And well, I think I would agree with you on that, in that, you know, these, if we have these drug treatment programs that are supposed to be the way to get these people off of drugs, there's no reason we can't use those programs within the prison system instead of, you know, because we've found in this town, keeping these people on the streets, even if it's just petty crime, it's still crime. It still is a problem in the neighborhood. I mean, we know on our street, you know, we have a house right on our street where it has become, it's a vacant house. It's become a flop house. And so they're constantly arresting people there that are wanted on some sort of warrant. And, you know, most of it goes back to drugs, but not all of it. One of the arrests they made there, you know, the guy that was, you know, wanted on an outstanding warrant was a registered sex offender. So it's not, I don't think it's a good idea. And it sounds like you're kind of agreeing that, you know, it's just not a good idea to lessen the severity of these crimes or the severity of the punishment for these crimes. The two things aren't mutually exclusive. We can get these people the help they need, but I think we can get it to them in the prison system. So there was another, we're going to run out of time in this segment, but there's one more law we wanted to talk about, so we'll catch that on the other side of this break, and that is the change in the smoking law. So we'll be right back.
94.3, The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A lawyer working with Jared Kushner says she will step aside from any Russia-related work for the president's son-in-law. Jamie Gorelick will remain on Kushner's legal team, but says another lawyer will have to handle Russia-related items. Special counsel Robert Mueller, who is investigating connections between the Trump campaign and Russia, is a former member of the law firm where Gorelick works. National Republicans are calling on Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly to donate profits from selling his stock in his brother's arts and crafts company that manufactures some products in Mexico. The Indiana senator is one of the nation's most vulnerable Democratic senators up for re-election next year. The National Republican Senatorial Committee says Donnelly has been hypocritically profiting from the company's actions. On Wall Street, the Dow by 85 points. The NASDAQ rose 38. The S&P advanced 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Where the rooster crows. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The U.S. and Mexico are looking to boost energy ties as the two countries prepare for a renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Secretary of Energy Rick Perry has visited Mexico to meet with his counterpart. Perry is calling Mexico a very important partner on energy. Mexican officials say the country plans two pipelines to import U.S. natural gas in addition to the 17 that already exist. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has released a revamped Republican health care bill aimed at repealing much of former President Obama's health law. The bill allows insurance companies to sell low-premium policies with reduced coverage. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 21 points with business. I'm done.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk and my guest co-host today, the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron Smith. And we've been talking about a couple of the new laws going into Oregon right now. And another one that you mentioned on the way over, Cameron, and so I thought we'd talk about that. And we don't have a whole lot of time left in the show, but Oregon looks like they're going to be changing the smoking age from 18 to 21. So I wanted to get your opinion on that. Do you think, one, it's a good idea for them to do that, but two, do you think it's going to achieve the goal of cutting down on smoking and teen smoking?
I don't think so, because if they were able, like under age of 18, if they were able to smoke then, they're still going to keep smoking because they have someone that's feeding them.
They have a place to get them.
Yeah.
So you've known kids that were less than the age of 18 that smoke cigarettes.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that's my feeling. And we've only got less than a minute left, so we're not going to be able to dig too deep into this. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get them at 16 or 17, you can get them at 18 or 19 just as well.
Yeah, and probably easier, too. Well, and the thing is what do you do about the people that already have started smoking at 18, 19, 20 years old?
Yeah, and that's something I'm sure they'll have to address. And it's kind of an interesting, we were just talking about decriminalizing drugs, but at the same time they want to raise the smoking age, which is nowhere near as bad as drugs, although I think it's a horrible thing. But yeah, kind of an interesting topic. Well, Cameron, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
And everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.